Alan, I remember when I was very young, I saw a book about constantly improving in the library.
Constantly improving?
Yeah, but I was like in fifth grade. I didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
Yeah, I read a page and put it back. What does the concept mean to you?
Kind of taking some time out of your schedule to reflect on what you're doing, to look at experiences you've had recently and what you can learn from them and how you can grow and be a better person. And, you know, you've all these life events happening to you and hopefully you learn some lessons from them and you get to improve and be a better person. So that's what I do. I try to reflect every now and again, do some meditation and see how I can improve myself.
And that applies not only to life, but to your business as well. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. I'm Griff.
I'm Alan.
And this is eBay for Business, your weekly podcast source for the inspiration you need to start, grow, and manage a business on eBay. Welcome back, Alan. We missed you.
Thank you, Griff. And I missed you, too.
How was Ireland?
It was really good. We brought our son home. We had a son a couple of months ago. So it was his first trip back to Ireland. And he got to meet his grandparents and his great-grandmothers. He has two of them. Very lucky. So it was fantastic.
Has he developed a taste for Guinness now? What is he, like 20? No.
He's 5 months old. So he... almost acceptable in Ireland. A little bit longer to go.
Oh, that explains so much.
And you were in the UK. Tell us a bit about that.
It was interesting. So what's on the docket for this week's episode, Alan?
Wait, just interesting?
Yeah, I'll tell you later off the air.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Doesn't sound too good. Okay, then. So this week we have two sellers on our main story, Mark Dunkel and Cathy Terrell.
Ooh.
Both share their perspective on what the best version of you means to them. And then Brian Burke joins us to provide the eBay side of the equation on this topic.
And we have some very interesting seller questions that came in last week.
Nice. They're always fun.
Yeah, they are. But first, let's get the latest on what's buzzing in the eBay community at large. Here it is, your news program on the podcast. Welcome to The Buzz. And joining me, as he usually does, community manager Alan Hayes. But Alan, what's happening in the eBay world this week?
Hey, well, it is eBay Open Week.
Yay.
The conference kicks off today in Las Vegas, and I cannot wait to meet our sellers at the main celebration of the year.
Me too. We'll be recording interviews with sellers, you know, eBay staff, even our executive team at the event. So be sure to tune in to future episodes to get a full download of all the info that comes out at eBay Open.
Definitely. And in our last episode, Liz and Bridget talked about our 2019 Shine Awards winners.
Oh, yeah.
And we're now actually right in the middle of the final stages of the voting period. So voting closes at 10 a.m. Pacific on July 25th. So if you're listening to the show before the time, make sure you jump on over to ebayopen.com/shineawards to vote for a winner. And just as a reminder, the grand prize winner will actually receive quite a comprehensive package.
Ooh, what do they get? What do they get?
$15,000 cash prize.
Wait, $15,000?
$15,000.
I could buy a used car with that.
You could.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or you pay 1 month rent in San Jose.
Now I'm depressed.
1 year Anchor Store subscription and concierge service.
Ooh.
VIP experience at eBay Open.
Ah.
$10,000 donation in the winner's name to an eBay for charity organization of choice that supports small businesses and entrepreneurs.
What else is included in this fantastic prize package, Alan?
Well, Griff, also is $500 in eBay shipping supplies, $300 in promoted listings, store banner makeover with digital badge, and professional photo shoot and video profile, and they will also feature in eBay marketing.
That last one is, I think, actually the most important.
Yeah, because it's the last one, you might kind of gloss over and not notice it, but actually a professional photo, video, badge, feature in marketing, it's great for your brand. It's great to get that out there and really spread the word, and it's nice to show your friends and family too.
And we hear that from past Shine Award winners, that exposure actually is what really kicked the flywheel of their business, and so that's the added benefit, I think, even worth more than the cash prize.
Yeah, I agree. And I know some Shine Awards winners have been like contacted by their city or by like local politicians in their area as they've been recognized by eBay, and they've got to speak at events in their community. So really opens up the doors to lots of opportunities for our winners. So best of luck to everyone that is in the final. And if you're listening, please make sure you vote. Your vote will help crown the winner.
Thanks, Alan. What else you got for us?
And next up, I want to talk about a topic that has come up on our community boards a couple of times over the last week or two. The topic is good to cancel listings and a recent update made to how we handle durations.
Oh, this is a little confusing. Didn't we announce changes to this in the seller update earlier this year?
That's right, Griff. Back in the spring seller update, which you can find in our seller center, we announced a new calendar month renewal schedule for good to cancel listings, and that kicked off on July 1st. So since July 1st, we've changed the good to cancel renewal schedule from every 30 days to once per calendar month. The new monthly renewal date for a good-to-cancel listing is based on the listing start date. The updated renewal schedule should make it easier for sellers to manage their businesses by aligning with monthly billing cycles and promotions. And to make it even easier to understand, I have some examples.
I love examples. Okay.
Okay, so if you created a listing on the 5th of the month,
right,
it will be renewed on the 5th of every month. So if you do one on July 5th, it's renewed again on August 5th, September 5th, October 5th, and so on.
Well, that's easy to understand.
That's so easy.
I have a suspicion it gets a little more complex.
Yeah, we started out easy. Here's a tricky one.
Okay.
So if you create a listing on the 31st of the month,
yeah,
say July 31st, your listing will renew on the 31st or the last day of the month. So August 31st, then September 30th, October 31st, and so on.
Okay.
And then listings created prior to July 1st. So, for example, a good to cancel listing that was created on January 30th, 2019 and has renewed every 30 days, i.e. March 1, March 31, April 31, May 30th, and June 29, will renew on July 29. And
yes,
then when it renews on July 29, subsequent renewal dates will be based on the day the listing was created, January 30th, using the new monthly schedule. Thus, the next renewal dates will be August 30th, September 30th, and October 30th.
And we printed this into a small pamphlet because you'll need it by your desk.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, yeah, it does make sense. It's not that hard, actually.
Hopefully. And the information is available in the Seller Center. Just look out for the Spring Seller Update. So it is all there for you to read. And hopefully this makes sense. And if you do need any further explanation, head over to ebay.com/community and chat with other sellers on our boards. There are a number of really helpful sellers there sharing info on how it works. And don't forget, if you do want to talk to eBay staff, we also host a weekly chat session with staff on our boards. And that takes place every Wednesday from 1 to 2 Pacific. And you can get to that by going to ebay.com/community chat. And then there's one more thing I want to share with you before I leave.
Oh, well, please be my guest.
So there was somewhat of a national celebration last week. If you missed it, can you guess what people were celebrating?
Doug taking a week off the podcast.
Hey. No, unfortunately, what it was, Griff, is that 50 years ago.
Oh, right.
July 16, 1969. Yep. NASA staff in the Mission Control Center at Johnson Space Center celebrated as Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins successfully blasted off of Earth, headed for the moon.
Yeah, I remember we watched that on TV when I was a kid.
You did?
Yeah, you weren't born.
I wasn't.
Mm.
You were reading your self-help book?
I was 15. But anyway, a trip to the moon. I need a vacation, but that sounds a little too far for me. But I can head up there and see if it's any better in the moon than it is down here. Well, do they deliver to the moon? Because you got to make sales, right?
Yeah. Shipping might take a while.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you send a postcard.
Oh, I will. How does this relate to eBay, Alan?
Wow. Great question, Griff. Over the last 6 years, the Mission Control Center has been restored and reupholstered and decorated with historically accurate details, including rotary phones, coffee mugs, and cigarettes, to look just like it did in July 1969. And guess where the team sourced some of the items for the control center?
Oh, I don't know. Could it be eBay?
eBay. Yay for eBay.
Right.
The restoration team sought out historically accurate trash cans, chairs, and other items by scavenging around the Johnson Space Center, bidding on eBay, and requesting donations.
Wow.
So eBay saves the day again. Whether you're looking to find the best deals on the latest tech or looking to restore a mission control center, you can find what you're looking for on eBay.
Yeah. That's the beauty of eBay, Alan. If you don't know that by now, you'll never know. Informative as always. Thanks for stopping by, Alan.
Thanks for having me, Griff. It's always a pleasure and never a chore to be here.
That must be an Irish saying.
It is.
Yeah. Up next, the main stories. Welcome to the main story. Today, we're talking with some sellers on the best version of you and their perspective and advice on the topic. And we're going to start off speaking with eBay seller Mark Dunkel. His user ID is BlueMax49ers. We're going to find out a little bit more of what's behind that user ID. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
When we were talking pre-show, you talked about your user ID. What's the story behind that?
I used to be a CBer back in the day, and I had a blue van, and my handle on CB was Blue Max. And when I moved out to California and got into radio again, I became Blue Max 49ers.
I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say your favorite football team is the 49ers.
Well, when they're winning.
Oh, fair weather fan, I see.
Fair weather fan, yeah.
Oh, okay. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what is it you sell on eBay?
I sell ham radio programming cables and now programming cables for a wide variety of things that people want to connect to their computer.
That sounds very specific.
It is very specific, yeah.
What does a programming cable do?
For example, in order to use a radio, you've got to tell the radio what frequencies you want to talk on. Well, that's a programming step. And so people want to use a computer to do that because many people have hundreds or dozens of frequencies that they want to program. Cables and a computer and computer software are used to do that task.
Very interesting. And you have a market in this.
I'm actually the largest seller on eBay in this market.
Ah, that's fantastic. How many sales do you have a year approximately on eBay?
Over 5,000.
Wow. And so ham radio is still a big thing.
It's ham radio and more.
And more. Okay. So there's other types of uses for these.
Yes.
And again, people can find you at Blue Max 49ers.
Yep. I have about 850 listings on eBay.
So when it comes to selling on eBay and maintaining your position as the biggest seller of these particular items like program cables for ham radios and more, how do you manage that? How do you stay on top?
Well, one of the things that's helped me tremendously is using a tool called Terapeak. Terapeak allows me to look at the market just by putting in a few keywords and then finding all the eBay transactions that contain that keyword. This allows me to look at my sales and the sales of all of the other sellers on eBay, and I can measure myself against them at a high level. And I can drill down into the specific products that are selling on eBay and see how they compare to my similar products.
Terapeak can be a really powerful research tool. Does Terapeak help you maintain your dominant position in this market?
Absolutely. And I hope my competitors don't hear this.
I'll make sure they don't tune into the podcast.
But the biggest question that Terapeak solves for me is, what is selling? And to what degree it's selling? What is the volume? If I want to put in a specific cable, I can research that cable exhaustively. It's wonderful.
And then you can find out the trends for specific types of cables, I assume.
Yes. I can see the market at the top level, see the volume, the cycles, and it does cycle. And I could drill down into a very specific cable for one radio.
So, Mark, as I said earlier, our theme for this week is being the best version of you. What does that phrase mean to you, the best version of you?
Well, I think for me, it's doing something that I enjoy, that leverages my talents and makes other people happy.
What do you do to maintain that idea of the best version of yourself?
Well, I love doing what I'm doing, and that's very, very helpful. I'm always pushing myself to optimize and expand my operations. I spend a lot of time researching for new products and services to offer to my customers.
And what do you recommend to others on this topic?
I really think you need to have a real passion for what you're doing. And I found it in my current career. It's something that I really was missing when I worked in other career areas. And I'm just really happy.
Now, every aspect of living involves some stress. And being an entrepreneur, self-employed, running your own business is no exception. How do you maintain, or do you maintain, work-life balance? And if you do, how do you maintain it?
That's a good question. Probably people would look at my work ethic and say I work too much, and that's probably true, but I enjoy it. So I don't really look at it as a problem. I look forward to going to work.
Any tips for work-life balance to someone who's listening?
Well, I think the most important thing, at least for me, is to find something that makes me happy, that I enjoy doing. Again, you know, it's not a struggle. It's something I look forward to. That could be hard to do. It took me a long time to find something this satisfying.
This is really good advice. Is there anything you want to add?
The way I got here is I make lists, and I make lists all the time, but I made a list of the things that I was good at and enjoyed, and then I have another list, which is things that I don't like doing, and those are the things that I try to stay away from. And I use this to kind of point me in the right direction when I get feeling like I really don't know what my next step should be.
Can you give us an example of some things on that list that are things you don't enjoy?
That I don't enjoy. Wow. I don't like being told what to do. I like to get to a solution as part of a team and in a collaborative way. And I just have always felt like you should approach everything as a partnership.
Makes sense. Mark, I want to thank you for taking your time to be on our podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Mark Dunkel. He's Blue Max 49ers on eBay. Coming up next, we'll talk with another seller on eBay about being the best version of yourself. Now let's talk to eBay seller Kathy Terrell. Kathy sells on eBay under the username NYC Fitness Family Finds, and she's been selling on eBay for over 15 years, and she currently focuses her inventory on apparel, NYC or New York City collectibles. Welcome, Kathy.
How are you, Griff?
I'm fine. Does that mean that you have tons of like little Statues of Liberty and Empire State Buildings lined up on a shelf somewhere?
Actually, what I have focused on, my background is show business. I actually came to New York City originally to pursue a career in the performing arts. I'm an actress. So I know Broadway and off-Broadway very, very well just from auditioning and performing. Also, my husband is show business. It's how we met. So what I look for when I'm in consignment and thrift shops is unique Broadway collectibles that you're not going to find everywhere.
Our theme this week is the best version of you. What does that phrase mean to you?
To me, what it means is me being the best that I can be. I know it's very challenging sometimes for sellers, for myself too, especially if you're on community boards or in Facebook groups, is I look at other sellers and I'll go, ah, why don't I have fill in the blank? And what I forget is where I am, what my challenges are, and what's next for me. And for me to be inspired by my fellow sellers, not to feel I am competing with them as far as dollar volume or sales or inventory selection. So It's about me challenging me for whatever the next step is for me.
Oh, so it's like competing against yourself then.
Exactly.
How does that work? I mean, I've never run a race against myself. I always lose.
I'll tell you, Seller Hub, I find super, super helpful for this. One of my favorite things is I do check my sales every day when I'm coming into my Seller Hub. And Seller Hub's great because it will tell you what your sales are. So you can keep an eye on how much am I selling? How is it compared to the previous 30 days? And now with things like Terapeak, you can go back even further. So I'm very aware. I literally set a dollar amount every month that I want to achieve. I have it hanging over my desk and I can check and see my progress and see how I'm doing. And then maybe some tweaks if I'm falling a little bit behind or if I'm exceeding, then I can consider resetting my goal maybe a little higher, you know, to keep myself challenged. But it helps me to have a number, to have a bar, something that I'm trying to achieve. I make it a slight stretch, Griff. I know some people like to set these real biggie goals.
Yeah.
And I always like something that's a little bit of a stretch, but it's still attainable. That works best for me.
It's easier to lose 5 pounds than 100.
Exactly. Yeah. 1 pound at a time.
1 pound. I think there was a sitcom I used to watch, 1 pound at a time. I should mention here also, you may hear some background noise. Kathy is located in Manhattan.
Yes.
And so if you've ever lived or worked in Manhattan, unless you're in a hermetically sealed environment, the wonderful street noise seeps through. So that's what you're hearing now.
Yeah.
You're a longtime seller. And also, besides that, a selling coach. You advise sellers, I assume, how to strive towards reaching the best version of themselves, so to speak. How does that work?
What I do, Griff, is really talk to them because what it's about is what do you want? What do you want for your business? For some people, it is increasing sales. For other people, they're happy with their sales level, but they want to decrease their hours. And then I also work with very large Amazon sellers that are coming onto eBay. Mm. So they're very good sellers, but they're not familiar with the eBay marketplace and educating them about the things that are available to eBay sellers that they're not familiar with, the various promotional tools that come with an eBay store that they can use to get more sales.
In your career as a seller mentor, where you're helping others become better sellers, it's always nice to focus on the successes, and I'm sure you have those.
Mm-hmm.
What are the challenges? We spend a lot of time, you and I, the company, a lot of people, trying to convince people that, hey, there's ways to improve your business. If you ask us, we may have the information for you. What do you do when somebody's really resistant to that information, but they insist on complaining?
It's your choice. You can choose to complain, and I get it, and there's certainly, we could all go there. I mean, come on, Griff. We could sit around and go, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not knocking somebody who, you know, we all go through times that are very frustrating.
Oh,
and it
course,
might be because
yeah.
of things that are going on in your personal life, which yeah. is you might be having a lot of frustrations personally. And then you come to eBay and it's just like, oh, you know, here comes more stuff. What do I have control over? What can I impact? What choices do I have? What tools do I have? And I use them. I'm a very proactive person. So with the tools that eBay gives me, I do have an eBay store. With an eBay store, with the inventory that I have, what are the best choices that I can make?
By the way, I would highly recommend that you advise all of your followers to keep their ears open next week. We're recording it the week before eBay open, but so this drops on the Tuesday. Start listening today to the announcements and the general session announcements
yes.
at eBay open. There should be some really great news that you can share with your followers. And you'll be there so we can talk about it in more detail. I'll see you at eBay open. Let's play Time Warp. I'll see you in a few minutes, Kathy. I know you're somewhere here on the floor.
I'm waving from the other side, Griff.
You know, it's a real challenge trying to keep that thing straight because we're so used to doing a live show in the past, and this is now pre-recorded. So, well, Kathy, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. I'm assuming you're just as busy as what it sounds like back there. So,
I am, again, getting ready for eBay open. I ended all my auctions. You got to be careful with send offers to buyers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right before you're leaving for open. You know, you got to keep an eye on your handling time.
Yeah, I have to do the same. I have to reclose my store for a week. We'll see you in a few minutes at eBay open. And take care until then. We've been speaking with Kathy Terrell. Kathy sells on eBay under the user ID NYC Fitness Family Finds. Coming up next, we'll speak to an eBay employee about his take on being the best version of you. And now for an inside eBay perspective on the topic of the day, which is the best version of you. We're joined in the studio by longtime eBay employee and current head of community here at eBay, Brian Burke. Welcome, Brian.
Great to be here, Griff.
Now, Brian, you've worn a lot of hats during your, I believe it's 20 years tenure here at eBay now?
It is, and quite a few hats.
What are some of those hats?
Community development, which is what I'm doing now, and, okay. and actually what I started with 20 years ago.
Like bookends
it,
to a
like
career.
Bookends. Well, who knows? I mean, you know.
You're not leaving, right?
Not planning to leave community development or eBay at this time, but you never know. eBay is an ever-evolving marketplace, and so there are always opportunities to do other things.
What did you do besides that?
So also policy development. Back in the day, for some of the longtime listeners, those who've been on the platform for a long time, remember the days when we didn't have policies like keyword spamming and links policies and things like that. And there was a time back in about 2002 to about 2004 where I was focused just on policy development and trying to create the best policies for them from a marketplace standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then that evolved into a big focus on feedback and looking at the feedback system and how it was helping and harming the marketplace. And then I did account management for 3 years, which is actually what I had done at 3Com Corporation, which was prior to coming to eBay. And that's what I was originally hired to do, was actually manage Power Seller Support Program. But by the time of my hire date and joining date, there was a bigger need in community there was with Power Seller Support. So it was a great opportunity to get back to working really directly with sellers as well as a team of account managers. And we focused on large sellers, you know, sellers that were doing either a brand that was growing in the marketplace or sellers that were doing at least about $4 million a year on the platform. And in just the book of business that me and my team had, we had about over $500 million in sales.
Wow, that's a big responsibility.
Annually. Yes. So, you know, in the past, whenever I worked on, say, feedback or with policy, a lot of the interactions were with like up-and-coming sellers or sellers who had just started selling or sellers who were really comfortable just doing, say, you know, $30,000 or $50,000 a year in sales. And that was their sweet spot. And they liked it. They liked the amount of energy that it took. And then you get to a different level when you start seeing sellers that are doing four or 10 or even, you know, $48 million was the biggest seller in the book of business at that time. I know there's some sellers on our platform that do much more than that today. Yeah. But it was very interesting to see what they did. And what they did was they systematized a lot of stuff. They looked at ways at how they could be more efficient, how they could reduce the number of touches, how they could reduce the number of touches even with their buyer side.
You mean touches like contact with buyers and customers?
Or listing an item, or packing an item, or, you know, shipping that item. Every single thing was looked at as a way, like, how can I remove one touch or two touches? Because those touches over the course of a year add up. So it was fascinating to see some of the stuff that they had done. And then also just saw some of them who it was just brute force. Like, just the effort was just pure brute force. And those tended to be the sellers who were less open to change. What worked early, they just kept doing, but they just had to do it faster and harder instead of looking for opportunities to say, because if you get to $1 million or $2 million, you can do it kind of through brute force. To get to $10 million, you generally need to be able to rely on other people. And rely, that means creating some systems so that there's consistency. And I think that's the big jump when I was looking at the difference between the sellers I was working with prior and then those really big sellers.
So you had a chance over the last 20 years, especially during account management, not just then. I mean, it works the same with smaller sellers, like you said, who are comfortable with a smaller annual GMV. What did you learn about people during this time that was revelatory, in a sense, about how people take advice or how open they are to the idea of changing the way they're doing business in order to create what honestly is a better version of their business?
Yes. And ultimately, you know, it's interesting. It wasn't just the sellers that I'd say I learned from. I mean, sometimes it's the buyers, and then also it was eBay staff.
Oh.
Over the last 20 years, you know, we've evolved quite a bit as a marketplace. And, you know, what I learned about sellers that were open-minded to change and open-minded to trying new things tended to be the ones that were growing their business or being successful. The ones that wanted things just to be the way that they always were. And, you know, the reality is we all have that tendency.
Yeah, it's a human nature.
It's just, I mean, I have that tendency as well. You don't want to have to put the extra energy in to learn something new or to try something new sometimes, because if something's working well, you think, okay, well, why touch it? But the reality is we all know that the world's always changing. And so as we introduce new changes, I think those that were open-minded to change were the ones that were successful. If I think back, one of the big changes we started to make was in 2008, and we started to shift fees from upfront fees where you paid eBay to list to back-end fees where it was success-based. We only got paid if you sold the item. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of our fees today, except for like store fees and some feature fees, are success-based fees. Prior to that, the vast majority of our fees were upfront. Well, there were some sellers who didn't want to change the business model that they had because it worked well, even though they were paying for fees upfront. But because they individually were successful, they didn't have the perspective of the overall marketplace. And we could see that, boy, if we didn't move to success-based fees, a lot of sellers would just leave the marketplace because they had alternatives. So we had to migrate. And the ones that it was fascinating to see some sellers hang on to really poor business practices, such as using an auction for brand new inventory where they had multiple quantities.
Yeah, we still see this.
And we still see it today, but it's amazing. Like, there were multi-million dollar sellers who were hanging on to that model, even though nowhere else was anyone purchasing brand new inventory via an auction model, mm-hmm. especially where there were multiple quantities. And so migrating some sellers like that and trying to help them migrate in a way that sustained their business was fascinating. And sometimes it would be frustrating because they didn't want to change or they wouldn't understand. They would really push back. The other side of it, though, is you could start to point to success stories, which oftentimes sellers like to see somebody else's success story. And that will help them be convinced that, boy, it can work for them too.
Right. Because if it's coming from us,
yes,
they sometimes distrust it. Even though it could be just as accurate and honest, but if right. it's coming from another seller, it's easier to digest.
And I also think there's something around experience. Like, if you see somebody else do something, then you're more confident you can do it. Whereas if it's just saying, hey, we believe this is going to be best, or we know this is going to be best for the marketplace, oftentimes the reality is the successful sellers are focused on themselves in a way because they're running a profitable business. Mm-hmm. And so they want to know how is it going to help them in their business. And I think that's not a bad mindset.
It's probably a lifetime goal for many people.
Yes.
A better version of you.
Yeah, and everybody should be always thinking about that in some way, whether you're in a corporate environment like, you know, you and I are in, or my father ran a small business. He had a machine shop. And, you know, whether you're in that business, you have to take time away from the day-to-day to learn about the industry that you're in, learn about the direction the industry's going, learn about what competition is doing, or just in general learn things. And that's important to do. I remember in one of my courses in college, I had a professor and they were talking about operations. And he said, here's a case study. And you buy a $100,000 machine. And so you think, okay, you want to get the most out of that machine. We had to basically come up with what's the optimal usage of that machine. You know, you would think that it would be, okay, run it at 100%, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if you did that on that $100,000 machine, eventually that machine breaks. And now you have a big problem, because what happens if it breaks when your biggest customer needs an order fulfilled? So you have to, if you're thinking about a machine, have time for downtime where you're going to do maintenance and you're going to do repairs and you're going to do things so that you get the most out of that machine over the course of the lifetime. And I think that's really important. Whether you're in a corporate environment, you need to take time away to learn new things and get rest, or in your own individual proprietorship or small business, always take time to learn something new or take some time away to just step away from the business to think differently about the business.
That's going to take some discipline, though, because running a business by yourself, even if you have help, we know from experience talking to sellers, for many of these sellers, it's a 25-hour-a-day job.
Yes.
They find that extra hour and tack it on to do work.
Right.
But now you have to discipline yourself to actually set time aside for learning and researching and reading.
Yes. Or even just resting, taking some time just to step away from the business a little bit.
Like a vacay.
Like a vacation. Mm-hmm. Because even mental health is important and physical health is important. Because if you're like that machine that I mentioned and you're going 100% all the time, eventually you break. And then what? Because if you're a small business, you have to make sure that you've got time to continue to grow. And I don't want to sound depressing. It's just, for me, a little bit, it's from experience, watching my father run a small business, a small machine shop in a really tough economic time in the 1970s and 80s with high inflation and the aerospace industry leaving Southern California. Those were tough, competitive times. And it was 24/7, 7 days a week. I was in there on weekends working at that machine shop.
With your hands?
With my hands.
Oh, I have a new vision of Brian I never saw.
Stamping out parts or, you know.
And you have all your fingers. I'm impressed.
And I even have some scars where I was not paying attention when I went in to remove some pieces of metal and wasn't paying attention and got nice five stitches a few times on my hand.
Well, it builds character.
It does. And puts blood on the floor.
Well, we're talking about making a better version of yourself, and there's obvious things. Like we talk about research and being open to suggestions and change, but I love the idea that you're focusing a little bit on the personal, because we know from talking to sellers, this is really difficult. If you're working for someone, you know, yeah. I got to work 40 hours a week. Now I can set some time aside for
40? You only work 40?
Well, I'm talking if you work for another company, not us at eBay. We love our jobs. We work 100 hours a week. But finding the time to do things like exercise. I know you just started an exercise routine.
Yes.
Because at our age, this is a critical issue now. Right?
It is. And it's interesting. For me, you know, I played sports in high school. And even after college, I used to play in volleyball and softball leagues. And it was enough, you know. And then you get married and you have kids and you go work in high tech. And high tech's it consumes you.
It's a sit-down job.
It's a sit-down job, but it also can consume quite a bit of time. And, you know, if you think about eBay was growing explosive. I mean, you experienced it much more than I did. I mean, I came years after you started.
Not years. Just 3 years.
3 years.
Just 3 years. Not that much. Maybe even 2.5.
But but the growth rate in those first decade to 15 years was incredible. And the change even today is incredible. And so the ability to stay up on it and the amount of hours that it takes to stay up on it is immense. And for me, I think I shortchanged the physical side of things and I didn't really exercise. My wife is a religious exerciser. She's always been very persistent and just, I don't know, disciplined.
Good for her.
And my goal is I want to keep doing it for a year. And it wasn't about weight loss, although I've lost some weight.
You don't have any weight.
I'm still a little heavier than where I want to be.
You're in a room with somebody who's clinically obese, so have a little respect.
You look great, too, because
I'm trying. I've lost 50 pounds.
Yes. And so...
And I'm going to find it again if it kills me.
Yeah. So for me, it was more around how do I sustain the level of energy that's required in a growing, in a dynamic industry like high tech or e-commerce? And one of the things that you have to do is you have to take care of yourself.
I know you've given advice. I've given advice. Part of our job is to give advice. And sellers still contact you. I know probably not as much, but what advice do you give them when they come to you with concerns about the health and the growth of their business or lack of?
So the first thing that I'll ask them is check what your competition's doing. We're a dynamic marketplace, and there are new sellers that come into the marketplace every single day, and there are sellers that have gotten more efficient every single day. And so the first thing that I tell them is look to see what's happening in the marketplace just by doing a search as a buyer for your items and seeing what shows up. And don't be mad if your item shows up on page 4 and it used to show up on page 1. Look to see what's the person who's showing up on page 1 doing that might be different from you. I remember years ago, there was a seller, a really large seller who sold golf clubs. And what happened with their business was the price point that they were getting for their items was shrinking over about a 6-month window.
Was that because of competition?
So they came to us about 5 months in and said, we're not getting the prices that we used to get. What's going on? And it actually took us a couple of weeks. Analytics resources are always dedicated towards other things. So to take analytics resources for an individual seller, even a really big seller, is sometimes a tall task. We eventually got the analytic resources to kind of take a deep dive at it. And what we had found was they were 100% auction business, and they used to spread their auctions out. And you can imagine if you're selling the same golf clubs, but they're just in used condition over time. They had hired someone new, and this is why processes and things are important so that you have consistency. And that person got more and more efficient at when they would list the items. So instead of listing those items over a 12-hour period, he compressed the listing time to about a 3-hour window, which means they all end within 3 hours.
Oh,
and
I
if
see
you're
this now.
An auction, what you need is you need those things spread out so that if somebody loses on an item in the morning, they see another one 6 hours later that's ending that they can bid on that's very comparable, and they're willing to bid up the price. So what happened was they consolidated all their bidding activity into a 3-hour window. It was that they had changed. It wasn't anything eBay was doing. It was actually some behavior that had changed in the business.
Did they change the way they were doing
this? They did immediately, and immediately the prices changed and went back to what they were.
Amazing.
It was one of those situations where sometimes eBay isn't always going to be the one that's affecting it. But that's why I always tell sellers, start with what's your competition doing and look to see if you've done something different. If you haven't done anything different, then look at your competition, because competition changes constantly. Oftentimes, if you're looking at who's first or second or third or fourth in search results, maybe their photos are better. Maybe their service levels are better. Maybe they've just sold more inventory.
Maybe they're not compressing all their auctions into a 3-hour window.
Right. That's less and less of a problem since 90% of our inventory is fixed price now. But even with fixed price, you've got to look at what are the things that can differentiate you and then make sure that those are the things that buyers want. We encourage sellers to provide certain service levels, and that's not because eBay says, oh, seller, we want you to do this. It's because we know it's what buyers are looking for. If you're not at those levels, you're likely giving up some sales.
Do most sellers that you talk to even today, do they adopt your suggestions for making changes?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that I've learned over time is that we deal with millions of basically small businesses. And each one of those businesses actually gets to make business decisions that are best for their business. So we can give advice around certain types of things, whether it's shipping or packing or handling time and things like that. But ultimately, each seller has to be comfortable with the business decisions that they make for their business. One of the things that I've learned is because we know a buyer believes that, you know, they want a 30-day return policy if you ask the average buyer, or they want items shipped within one day. They want competitive pricing. We all do, right? Mm-hmm. These are all just common sense things. It doesn't necessarily mean that every seller is going to want to do that. And ultimately, then that isn't an eBay issue, because if you're losing sales, it's a business decision by the seller. And each seller gets to make those business decisions for better or worse.
Better or worse.
And some are, I know I've had conversations with sellers who refuse to do returns. And it's 2019. And not offering returns is you know, I won't buy from a seller who doesn't offer returns.
Yeah, I look for this now both in any marketplace. But and, on eBay, you have to look because there's no standard return policies. Sellers can still say no returns.
Exactly. And I think it's important that we give sellers that flexibility. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that that seller should get the same discounts or the same boost that someone who is offering a return. And those become business decisions. I think the more sellers think about them running their own business and saying, okay, eBay is a platform. We create the rules. We have our best practices. And we think that if a seller abides by the best practices, it'll be best for them and for the marketplace overall. But it doesn't mean they have to abide.
You're an adult. You can choose whatever you like. Right?
Yes.
And but with the understanding that the consequences are yours, not somebody else's.
The tougher conversations, I would say, around advice are when a seller says, but I am doing all of those things. And then that's where I say, look at the competition. Because if a seller is following all of our best practices, but they don't feel like they're selling as much, then you have to look. Has someone found a way to offer the same item at a lower cost? Has someone found a way to ship it faster or less expensively? All of those things come into play.
Well, I've always sold shirts. I still do. And I notice when I'm shopping for shirts for myself on eBay, there are a lot of sellers who don't provide measurements.
Yes.
And I used to think, well, I'll just ask them for the measurements. Now I don't bother. So it's a sale you're going to miss because I need to know. There's no standardization.
Right.
The other thing I learned as a seller, as I started selling off my CD collection, never had sold CDs before. And it's a tough market. There's a lot of competition. But I found that I could make sales consistently if I just checked. It's not a huge inventory. It's like 200 CDs at a time. Just check all the prices and see what's the lowest price for this CD right now. And just drop it 2 cents for mine. I always end up on top and I always make a sale.
Yeah.
And it was a simple,
easy thing.
It's 2 cents. Sometimes I'll do 5 cents.
It's why major retailers for probably 100 years have sold items that they would love to price at $5 for $4.99.
Yeah. And yet there are still sellers who, going back to shirts, who just won't put the measurements in. And then a lot of them will, the same sellers who say, why am I not selling?
Right. Buyers definitely need the information.
Yeah.
And I think that your point about listening to your buyers is really critical. Back in the day when I was managing feedback, I always thought, boy, we ask our customers all the time for feedback. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not pleasant what our buyers or sellers say mm-hmm. about things that we've done, but we learn from it and hopefully we make adjustments. And I always felt like too many sellers wanted to be 100% and they missed the value of feedback, which is, boy, you have a customer who was willing to give you the opportunity to improve.
And become a better version of yourself and
right.
your business.
And I still believe it today. I know that it's painful. No seller likes that red donut out there. But if you flip it and say, here's a piece of data that I can use to be better in the future, and you're constantly doing that, I think then you're going to constantly get more and more customers. And I think that's true with us internally as well. 20 years ago when I started, eBay was a very, very different place. The biggest change that I've had to make over the last 20 years was to be open-minded towards the changes that were coming and also be open-minded towards things that maybe we had tried in a marketplace that was 20 years ago that, hey, if we tried it now, it might be successful. So don't think that just because you tried something 10 years ago and it didn't work, that it may not work now because the marketplace, the buyers, how buyers find your items, all of those types of things change.
Brian, I want to thank you for stopping by.
Likewise. Really glad to be here.
Thanks, Brian. We've been talking to Brian Burke. He's the head of community, as well as many other things here at eBay, about becoming the best version of you, the best version of your business, and looking forward to the future, staying open to suggestions and the ideas of change. Coming up next, your questions. It's time for questions.
Yay! My second favorite time of the day.
What's your first time?
The buzz.
Oh, it's because you write it. Well, anyway, these are questions that come in through the submission form on the podcast page and community.
Nice.
Also, remember, you can dial... What's that phone number again?
888-423.
You know, I should remember the darn number, but... Yeah.
888.
Yeah. You can always call us, and we'll give you the number later, because I can't find it right now. It's just slipped my mind. I'm old. Anyway, but I'm not too old to answer these questions. 888-723-4630.
There you go.
It just hit me.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay.
So we're going to do this way. Alan will read the questions as submitted, and we'll attempt an answer. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll try our best. First one up.
Okay.
Hello, Griff.
Oh, who's it from?
Corgi Acre.
Okay.
Thank you. eBay recently launched a new bulk shipping tool. In the old version, the PDF created by the bulk shipping tool allowed the option to print one shipping label per page. Not the packing slip, but the actual USPS postage label. I would load my printer with the pre-cut half sheets of paper, and my shipping labels were ready to tape on the boxes as soon as printed. In the new version, the PDF appears to force two labels per page, and I cannot find an option for just one. Is it still possible to create the PDF with just one label per page? If so, how? Having two labels per page requires me trimming the labels, and then there's an odd number of showing up, and you get an extra bit of page, and I've tried both Chrome and Edge, and neither seems to allow. How can we get one per page? Please advise. That comes in from Anne.
Okay, so Anne, I got two parts of the answer. Right. And the first part's a little complex because what she's asking is not easy to explain. If you're on the Print Your Shipping Label page, the new one, on the left-hand side, there's an Orders Detail box. And if you scroll down, you'll notice there's a tiny little rectangular box underneath that'll say something like 8x10 PDF or 8x11 or 4x6. And then you can change that. If you click Change, there's some preferences you can switch to. Now, what you're trying to do may not be possible with the PDF format, but you'll notice that there, right next to it, you can save the label as a portable networks graphics image or PNG, PNG image. And we actually say this is recommended for advanced users that need to adjust the location of the label on the page when printing. So that's where you would start this journey. But because the next part of it relies on the print dialog box you're using, which varies from Safari, Chrome, Internet Explorer, Edge, it's impossible for me to give you directions that are specific. But you could change the portrait landscape. You'd move it around. You'd see if you get it to work. And hopefully after a lot of experimentation, you might actually figure out how to do this. But I'm going to take the opportunity here to try to convince you to do something different. Because I do this all the time when people say, well, I print my labels out on the half sheets and then I tape them and I cut them. Lots of extra work. Now, I know a lot of sellers don't want to invest in equipment, but what I'm going to tell you will pay off in much more efficiency. And that's what you're looking for in any business. You need a thermal printer.
Some sellers are obsessed with their thermal printers. Oh, and when they get one, it's...
Your world changes.
Eureka moment. And they're like, how did I ever live without one?
How did I make it this far without a thermal printer? Now, there are various types and brands, but I have three I want to talk about. Two are by the same company, and then there's one by another company. And I have all of them, and I use all of them, and they will change your life. So the first one is a Zebra printer. And the model number is GK420T. If you search eBay on Zebra, GK420T, thermal printer, you'll see all the ones that are currently for sale. And if you look for used or refurbished, they sell for about $100 in fixed price. And you can also, if you want to take a chance, go in for an auction and maybe get it for less. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of auctions of these. Mm-hmm. And the other one is also a Zebra printer. It's an LP2844, and this is an old-style workhorse. It's impossible to kill these things. And what I like about the Zebras is they use generic rolls of pre-adhesive labels that are thermal. Thermal means there's no ink. The labels themselves are sensitive to heat, and the heat prints the actual contents of the label. Once you've done this, to print a label is now so easy. So quick, so fast, no taping, no cutting, no shuffling papers in a printer and having to put half sheets in. It will change your life. The third one is a Brother QL1050. That's Brother QL-1050. I also have this one. Works really well. Lots of people like it. There's one reason why I think it has a disadvantage. It requires a special type of thermal label. The two Zebra printers can use any kind of generic preformed label. They're perforated. So that they actually, you just rip them off the printer and then peel them, stick them on the package. These will change your life. So to make a long story short, which at this point is probably impossible because we're this far into the answer, get yourself a thermal printer. It'll change your life.
Yeah, invest in your business. Well, thanks, Griff. Great information there. The next question comes in from ChollaTX, I believe is the user ID. From what I can see, ad fees aren't included in selling costs within the performance section of SellerHub. Are there any plans to begin including them at some point in the future? If not, shouldn't there be an asterisk next to selling costs with a statement at the bottom of the page, does not include ad fees?
Well, number one, great idea. Mm-hmm. Love it. That would be a separate column. What they're talking about is if you go to performance and then you can go to selling costs.
Okay.
There's a whole section there that breaks out your selling cost. And currently, the fees for promoted listings, aka ad fees,
okay,
they're not showing up there. But if they could, they could show up as a column. But in the meantime, because there's not a column, I don't think that the team would actually take the time and effort to put an asterisk at the bottom saying it doesn't include ad fees. It's pretty obvious it doesn't. It's not broken out anywhere. But I'll take that back to the team, or we will. That's the kind of feedback they're looking for. But in the meantime, you can always find those, you know. If you go to Seller Hub under marketing, look for promoted listings, and there is a cost breakdown there. It's by campaign. It's not by listing itself, but you get an idea of what your costs are for your ad fees for listings that have sold through promoted listings. But yeah, I love your idea. It's a great idea. We'll take it back to the team.
Great idea. Thank you. Yep. The next question comes in from Bunny Wilk. Bunny Wilk. What a great user ID.
I love it.
What is eBay's policy on sellers who use other sellers' pictures without permission? I would think that this will be a practice that eBay would not want or tolerate, especially on a used item. This practice may lead to unhappy customers. That being said, I was just told by eBay for Business Facebook that eBay will not and does not do anything about it. I am very disappointed in eBay.
The policy is that sellers should provide their own pictures, but there's really no way for us to police this in a way that would be effective. However, there is a way to do this. It involves becoming a verified rights owner on eBay. So you have to sign up if you want to do this. The only way you can do it is because it's your intellectual property and you decide you want to defend it against other sellers using it. And that's your photos that you took. Then you can join the Verified Rights Owner Vero program. And when you find a seller using your photos, you can report them and eBay will take them down in those cases.
Oh, great.
Right. But just asking eBay to take a photo down, it's not going to happen. It's not that they will not and do not do anything. It's they cannot do anything. Because it becomes a he said, she said. So even if your listing was earlier, somebody else could say, yeah, but that was my listing. And then we get into an impossible situation where even Judge Judy would pull her hair out.
Well, thanks for that next step. If the member wants to register for the Verified Rights Owner program, you know, I think that's a good next step if they're that serious about protecting their intellectual property rights.
Yeah.
So the next question came in from Amy, and it was an email into podcast@ebay.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's podcast@ebay.com.
Thank you.
If you have any questions. So it is a long one. Bear with me. Last week, I had my first experience with a buyer who received an item that was broken. They were a used set of headphones, which were a little broken when I sold them. Amy says that she made it clear in the description.
I have no doubt.
When the buyer received the item, he told me that he was very sad because when he received the headphones, they were no longer fixable. I asked him to send photos, which he did, and he could see that they had not survived the trip to Canada very well.
That's sad.
So Amy refunded his money. Mm-hmm. The buyer was happy, and she felt that it was the right thing to do under the circumstances.
Good for you, Amy.
I didn't know how to do a fund exactly, so I looked through the help sections on eBay, and they said I should try to resolve the issue with the buyer, which I did, but it didn't explain exactly how to refund the money. So I went to the PayPal transaction and refunded it that way. It seemed to work fine. But now Amy mentions that on her Seller Hub, it's showing that she has an unpaid item.
Oh,
it's asking if I want to open an unpaid item case, which I do not. So Amy's questions are, should I have approached the refund differently? And what do I do now to clear this from Seller Hub? Thanks in advance for your help.
Well, I think you did okay. And it's not your fault. This is actually an eBay shortcoming. This is what happens in these cases when you refund, because it just happened to me. And I know how to deal with it, which is you just ignore it. So as long as you don't open up the case, there's nothing that happens. You just let it sit and it goes away. Problem is, it sits there. And I know that doesn't seem right. My contact in product team says this is something that's on the roadmap to be fixed. Beyond all that, Amy, you are to be commended. You did the right thing as a seller. This is exactly the way to conduct business. You empathized with the buyer and you took care of it. So high marks for you.
Yep. Kudos to you, Amy. Yeah. Yeah.
Amy, thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Amy. And thank you all for all of your questions.
Yes, thank you. And we'll have more questions, if not next week, the following week. I'm not quite sure what we're going to do here at eBay Open while we're recording. We may get some questions. And if we do, we'll try to answer them.
Yeah, we'll make sure you send your questions in. We can't do this segment without any questions.
Podcast@ebay.com.
Or use the form on the eBay community.
Or 888-723-4630. You know, I've been saying that number for 15 years. You think it would sink in by now.
888-723-4630?
Yeah, that's okay. It. Absolutely it. Phew. Let me check. Okay, don't go away. Oh, and that's our show for this week, Alan. What's on for our next episode?
Well, we're taping this week for 2 days straight at eBay Open, and we'll be compiling the content for an eBay Open Overview podcast episode. Mm. We will be talking to seller attendees, vendors, and best of all, eBay team leaders too. There are bound to be some choice announcements from the main stage, and then we'll grab a few eBay execs to ask them to share that news with us.
All of this will happen in the eBay community booth area on the expo floor, so we'll capture all the audio ambience around us in the event. You don't want to miss it.
I don't. And don't forget that much of the goings-on at Open this year will be live streamed as well, so don't forget to tune in during Wednesday and Thursday at ebay.com/eBay Open.
And now it's time for podcast housekeeping. If you want to join the fun here at eBay for eBay for Business, you can be part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call the hotline any time of day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment and we might just put it on air.
And as we are never tired of saying, we have our very own email address where you can send your questions if you prefer. It's podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Are you antisocial?
What?
Do you believe, as Sartre said, that hell is other people? Well, you're right. And are you cranky, constantly annoyed? Is your patience wearing thin? Well, put down the 20th cup of coffee and go attend a local eBay seller meetup in your area. You knew where this was going.
Mm.
At seller meetups, sellers share tips and stories and insights and even a few kvetches. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into the weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/eBay for Business and then jump over to the eBay community for a live Q&A session with eBay staff. You can get to that at ebay.com/community chat.
Well done. Hey, Alan, let's crank out those credits.
Let's do it. Head of Community, Brian Burke.
Executive Associate Segment Producer on Vacation, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Our prodigal co-host, return to the fold, Alan Aisbitt. Welcome back.
Thank you. And welcome back, our Editor-in-Chief and host, Griff. Same to you.
eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. That was good.
That was good.
A lot of talking.
888-723-4630.
You think I would remind? What's wrong with me? It's like my memory's gone.
And my dog died. I can't believe I mentioned my dog died.
It was so sad.
It was so sad. But this is like therapy, right?
Yeah, it's what you do.
Sharing it with everyone.
Right. You bore everyone with it. And then
so if anybody has any spare dogs lying around that I can take, I need one.
Yeah, you know the Dorothy Parker story?
No.
When her husband died.
Nope.
Well, her best friend came to console her and said, Dorothy, is there anything I can do for you? And she said, yeah, well, you can get me a new husband.
Yeah.
And her friend said, Dorothy, I've known you for a long time. That's the most callous thing I've ever heard you say. She went, yeah, I guess you're right. On second thought, make it a ham on rye and hold the mayo.
Good girl. A few glasses of wine, too. Go down nice.
Yeah, go look her up in Google. Dorothy Parker. It makes sense.
Okay, I'm on it.